Let's see. You've all heard of post-traumatic syndrome, post-nasal drip. So I'm struggling here a little bit. Sorry. All right. I want to talk today about the subject of walking with God or walking with the crowd. And this really has to do a lot with the portion today about Noah, because walking with God or walking with the crowd. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always wanted to be popular with other people. I think that's probably the case with all of us to some degree. I'd like to be liked, and it's a hard thing in my position as the leader of a congregation to be able to tell people something that they don't want to hear, something that they're doing wrong, because it hurts them, and then they usually don't like me as much. And so it's not always easy and somewhat challenging. And I would just say that there's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked, because the Lord has created us to be social people. In other words, to have relationships, strong relationships, that is. But sometimes, unfortunately, we get into groups that are going in wrong and destructive directions. And then we have a choice that we have to make, which is to either walk with God or walk with the crowd. And today's portion is a classic story of that. And I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to look at verse 6 and 8. Of course, it's on the screen. But the scripture is describing here, as we enter into the life of Noah, that the society is becoming increasingly corrupt. And then it says this in verse 6, that the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. It's amazing to think about the fact that God's heart was filled with pain, mainly because he saw what was going on around about him, and he realized people, they were entering into destructive ways in their lives. And he was in pain because of the society's corruption. But then we get to verse 8, which says this, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what I'd like to do here is to actually focus on what's not in this passage. In other words, what's absent from this passage. Because it's obvious that there was pressure on Noah to conform with the society in which he lived. It's just that it doesn't talk about it, really. In other words, to go with the crowd. And in fact, it's bad enough when the crowd is pushing us during normal times to conform to their ways, but then it gets so much worse when things have gotten really, really bad. And so I want us to picture what it was like when Noah began to build his ark. And so let's try to go back in time and picture the conversation that might have been going on among the people watching him build this ark. So somebody comes by and he says, "Hey Noah, what you doing?" And his answer is building an ark. Person says, "Oh, you mean for a yacht on the Euphrates?" He said, "Nope, God is going to flood the earth." And the person's response is, "You old fool." And so what this guy does is, this is a mocker, he gathers a crowd of people. And they come up with this little chant at Noah. The chant goes a little bit like this. It's not in the scriptures, but it's in extra-biblical writings. It goes, "Noah, Noah, he's a nut. He's proved it now. He's in a rut. We always knew he was a fool. Look at him now. He's lost his cool. He says there'll be a flood with our homes full of mud. But we know that that ain't true, because we've discovered, here's the clue. Noah's just plain weird. He's a man full of fear. He never joins our crowd. He's simply too darn proud. He claims he obeys his God, and we're about to feel his rod. But we all have our doubt that will ever see his clout." And so that's the chant that was at Noah during this biblical period. Now imagine poor Noah, the isolation that he felt being apart from everybody in the community, being isolated from everyone. But what made Noah different than all the people around about him? It's because he knew the Lord and he walked with him, and he realized, he found that God's reality was greater than, in Noah's life, than the pressure of the crowd, because that's what he was finding. We all face that pressure to some degree to conform and to be part of the crowd. And this is especially true of young people. That's why I wanted the young people to stay in here today. Especially true of young people. Because throughout the school systems, high school, college, even down to middle school these days, kids are getting smashed, getting high, and getting hooked up sexually. And I'll tell you a little bit about my own high school experience, which is not particularly glorious, but to explain what I mean about the pressure of the crowd. I've shared this before. It's nothing new here. But when I was early in high school, I used to join all the parties on the weekends and get wildly drunk. And I used to brag that I would never get sick from all the booze, so to speak. And then in my senior year in high school, I met the Lord. I met Yeshua. And I stopped all the drinking. Not because, in fact, anybody even told me that it was wrong. I just didn't have the desire to do it anymore. It's like God had changed me. No longer wanted to do it. But a couple of weeks before college, the old group of friends that I used to have, they all came around me and said, "Jamie, man, you got it. Let's join with us. Let's go down to the beach for the weekend, Labor Day weekend." You know what that means? Ocean City, Maryland. It's not pretty. And I knew what that meant, you know. And I said, "No, I don't really want to go." And they kept pressuring me. "No, come on, just one more time." And so I knew it meant a week of, you know, wild drinking and so forth. So I determined in my heart, okay, I'll go, but I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to go to the dance clubs and do whatever. So I went down there. First night, everything was fine, no problem. Then next night, you know, they kept saying, "Hey, take this, you know, it's gin, blah, blah, blah," all this kind of stuff. So I said, okay, I take a drink. Next thing that I remember, it was the next morning sometime, and then my friends described to me the rest of the night. Now, they knew I was a believer. And what had happened is I drunk this whole bottle of gin, completely passed out, threw up all over myself in the bed. They had dragged me out of bed, take me in the shower, showered me, you know, and then dragged me and threw me back into bed. That was the experience. I got up the next morning. I felt terrible. I mean, I just felt sick, felt terrible. All day long, I lay on the beach going, "Oh, God, forgive me." You know, I just felt just horrific and so forth. I was so embarrassed by that whole event that I didn't touch a drop of alcohol again for 20 years because I was so embarrassed by the whole thing. Number one, it's because I'd committed my life to the Lord and he knew he didn't want me to live that way. And number two, I'd gotten so sick and I realized that the consequences of my actions, you know, for momentary thrill, and it wasn't even that momentary, to suffer the way it was. That's what I mean about change, about choosing who you're going to walk with God or with the world. You know, it's really interesting. We watch television today, the amount of sexual promiscuity that's on television. And I just want to, you know, I'm not one of these, I mean, some people might accuse me of being a prude. Okay, whatever. All right, whatever. Maybe I am. But this, it's not the prude aspect that I want to focus on. What I want to focus on is the reality of sexual promiscuity. On television, what they show is, it's the norm. Every comedy or whatever, sitcom, has sexual promiscuity laced in. But this is what they don't, and it's normal to have multiple partners and so forth, but this is what you never see on television. Unwanted pregnancies. Single parents with children living in poverty. The problems of abortion. Sexually transmitted diseases. See, this you never show. They never show that. They just show it's like the norm and happy and everybody's happy. But the reality is that the vast majority of people who participate in this way are not so happy. I've done over 60 weddings since I've come down here at Tikvah. And for those of you that have been through the premarital counseling, you know that I get to this one section where we get to this what I call the sex talk. And it's not like no, no, no. It's more of me asking questions of what have you done and so on and so forth, not because I have voyeuristic tendencies, but it's because we're looking for sexual problems, which many people often have. So I ask very, very personal problems. I always warn everybody in advance what it is. Most of the people that I've counseled have been in previous sexual activities and relationship. But you know what? You know what's really interesting about it? None of them have ever bragged about it. And in fact, many of them were embarrassed to even talk about what they had done before. Well, if it's embarrassing, and if the results are negative, you know, such a problem, then what's the issue here? The issue is you walk with God or you walk with the crowd. You see, and the problem is the pressure of our modern society is so great in these areas that it causes us to walk with the crowd and brings destruction on our own lives. You know what? It's even true about people attending here at Tikvah Israel. Let's talk about two different groups of people who attend here. You're either one or the other. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. Okay? So those are your options. Maybe some bugs too, according to Valerie, but we don't want them here at Tikvah Israel. They're fine for the yard. Let's talk about the Jews who come here from the outside. Jewish people who don't yet know Yeshua. First of all, as soon as families or friends discover this, then the reaction is, oh no. It's like a tragedy has happened to the individual. In fact, pressure is applied to the person for even coming, and sometimes threats are made against them. This is what Yeshua says about this. This is in Matthew chapter 10. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Now let's take the Gentile who opts to come to Tikvah Israel. What happens is a Gentile, usually coming from a church, comes to Tikvah Israel. Friends and family learn about it, and they're like, what are you doing with the Jews? You know, what's wrong with you and stuff? But again, quoting the scriptures, this is what God promised. He said, I will bless those, about the Jewish people, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, talking about the Jews. So those people who stand with the Jewish people are blessed, and those who don't are going to be cursed. And so the issue always is with these kinds of things, are you going to walk with God or walk with the crowd? You see? Now, I'm not suggesting that the crowd is always wrong. Quite the contrary. In fact, God builds communities for protection. Communities are often right. I would say that they're normally right in what they say to an individual. And so if the community goes to an individual and says something that they're doing something wrong, it needs to be weighed very seriously. But this is what the Torah says about majorities. In Exodus 23, it says this specifically, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. And my answer is, remember Noah. You see, many times, in many ways, the crowd influences us to do bad things. Think about young people, middle school, sometimes even in high school. What happens there is young people who are in the in crowd begin to taunt unpopular and geeky people. And so those who are a little bit on the fringe feel a little caught because maybe they know intuitively that it's wrong to taunt the poor, unpopular, geeky person, you know, but they feel caught up in the crowd. Now, of course, the taunt, unpopular, geeky person usually goes on and becomes, you know, like a millionaire later in life and so on. But in high school, of course, you don't realize that. That's just the reality. And so, but what happens is you get caught up. You get caught into the crowd and you start treating people this way. Or people gather together and begin to speak negatively about another person. Maybe there's some weirdo in the family. You know, I remember I had a cousin who he came here before he passed away. He was killed tragically in an accident. And the whole family used to talk about him because he would talk endlessly. It was just unbelievable. I mean, it really was. It was endless, you know. And he wasn't successful like the rest of my family. In fact, he was the number two black sheep in the family. I was number one, you know, and then he was number two. And so the family would talk about him in these negative ways. Oh, man, what a loser, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. Or also, you know, sometimes we'll talk about an employer that gives us a hard time. People gather around, man, this guy, what a schmuck, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Or, you know, neighbors or people in the congregation. But you know what? When you do that, you're participating in Lashon Hara. It's a violation of Torah, and you're setting yourself under judgment of the Lord. That's what happens when you're either going to walk with God or walk with the crowd. It's easy to go with the crowd, but the Lord calls us to step up like Noah. Even the fashion world. Let's see if people are wearing fashionable stuff out here. I mean, I was pressured by my daughter to wear a little more fashionable clothes and so on, so whatever. But now, you ever wonder why there's annual fashions? You know, every year they change the fashions, really. You ever wonder why? It's real simple. It's getting you to spend money. That's why. There's no reason why the collars have to be a little thinner this year, the ties thinner or fatter, the skirts higher or lower, you know, cuts in this side, cuts in that side, bow in, bow out, you know, and so on and so forth. There's no real sense to it. It's just to spend money. That's the whole point. And look, and it's important to be in. So you watch the fashions, you watch the people around you. I don't want to be like, you know, wearing something like 3 years old. So I got to go out, buy the stuff, be in the fad, be in the in crowd. And look, I don't have anything against looking nice. Really, I don't. But the popular culture carries us along unknowingly, soaking up our time, our money, and changing our values. And we're just like sheep going to the slaughter. You know what? Even modern science, do you realize that? Modern science does the same thing. Let me give you a classic example, one of the most amazing and popular fashions in the early 20th century was the eugenics movement, right? They took Darwin's theories of evolution and applied them to the races of humankind, and it was a new science. And you know who supported the eugenics movement? Top scientists, university professors, Supreme Court justices, they all believed that certain racial groups were superior to others. They felt like they had the science to show it. And you know what the result was in the United States? The land of the home and free, protections everybody's individual rights and liberties. In the United States, they sterilized Native Americans, blacks, and the disabled. And then German scientists borrowed the research of the American scientists, applied it to homosexuals, the disabled, and the Jews in Germany, as well as political opponents. Interesting, right? And the crowd was just carried along. Got to be part of the crowd. Now, of course, this has all been rejected now, this idea of racial superiority and so forth. And we can't imagine it today that it would happen, anything like that could happen again. Or can we? Think about cloning. People are looking, it's going to happen. They're going to clone a human being. It will happen. And why the cloning? They're looking for superior human beings that don't have all the individual problems. So what about those that do have the problems? Oh, disposable, no problem. Are we going to clone the ideal person? We're going to clone a Frankenstein. You see, it's the same. You either go with the crowd or you go with the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting here that we live in a monastery, that we live in cloistered communities like the Amish or the Hasidic communities. I'm not suggesting that at all. In fact, really, the contrary, because Yeshua showed us how to live. He didn't isolate himself or his followers. Rather, he invested himself into society. He was an agent for change and taught his followers to do accordingly. He claimed to be the light to the world. And then he said to his followers that you're the light to the world. And that was to fulfill Israel's mission to be a light to the nations. If God is first in your life and you walk with him, you're going to be a light. But if he's not first in your life, I guarantee you're going to be carried along by the crowd. That's just the way it is. And who knows, if we walk with God, he may tell us to build an ark, just like Noah, right? And save the world. You see, every man or woman who is used by God, who was used by God historically, always went against the grain. I'm going to say that again. Every person historically who has ever been used by God went against the grain. You either walk with God or you walk with the crowd. Let's close in prayer. Well, Lord, we thank you for the life of Noah and others, Lord, who have stood against the crowds, Lord, against the pressures of the crowd, for your standards of righteousness, Lord God, for your ways in society, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the examples of these individuals. We ask for, Lord, that we would have the courage to do the same thing, Lord. That, Father, that we wouldn't be pushed around by the crowd and to involve ourselves in something that we know intuitively is wrong, Lord, but rather we would stand with you, Lord God. We would stand with Yeshua, Lord, who is the light of the nations, Lord, the light of Israel, the glory of his people Israel, and the light to the nations, as Simeon the prophet said about him when he saw him in the temple, Lord. And Father, we want to be able to say the same thing, Lord God, for ourselves, Lord, that we're followers of him, Lord, that we'll be a light to those around about us, Lord, that we will love those around about us, Lord, but we will not be carried along by the crowd, O Lord, but we will stand with you, and we honor you and thank you to this day in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yarer Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Have a good week in God. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. Bookstore will be open, especially for visitors. We have Oneg downstairs. Thank you.